In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Brothers and sisters, the great day of Holy Pentecost is here. That day in which we celebrate the historic birth of the Church, and that day in which we celebrate the renewal of the Church. As we pray on this day for the descent of the Holy Spirit to come once again and abide in us, to fill us with His life and His light and His goodness and everything that He has for us as the promise of the Father and the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, having ascended to heaven, having completed the work that He came to do. On this great day of Pentecost, we'll speak about three things. First, the people. We hear how they were gathered together, these 12 disciples whom we see in the icon, the Mother of God, together with the other women, the myrrh-bearing women, and those who ministered to the Lord and His disciples. Also, we even hear about, in the Acts of the Apostles, now the brothers of the Lord Jesus were there. Not His blood brothers again, but His stepbrothers. They came to believe. Why? The resurrection will do that for you. They came to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, and they were joined to the rest of the disciples. So we have these 12, we have the Mother of God, the murmuring women, the brothers of Jesus, then you have the 70, and ultimately today, on the day of Pentecost, you have the 120 assembled together. And they form, on this day, the Apostolic Choir. The Apostolic Choir. The people of God are essential to the Church. And actually that word choir is a wonderful illustration of what the Church is called to be. Because as we know, in a choir we need multiple parts, multiple voices. And they come together in harmony. You pull one or the other out and you don't have that fullness. You don't have that right sound. Think about our church community here, how important it is that each and every one of you participate in the life of the Church. Each and every one of you bring something here and are irreplaceable. Think about the choir. We have a director or multiple directors. We have a hierarchy. Same in the church, we need a bishop. And the bishop needs a council of bishops. We need clergy, priests, and deacons, subdeacons and readers. We need council members. People who greet people at the door, the greeters, the ushers, the servers, the people who prepare the food for coffee hour and clean up, who take care of the grounds, who do a whole host of other tasks. Everyone's part is so important. So important. And everyone comes together in this unity, in this harmony. When we think about the choir, what if the choir were not singing together in harmony? What if they weren't singing at the same tempo, the same pace, the same notes, following the same music, having the same director? There would be disorder. And that can't happen in the church because the church is the place of order. The place where we are reordered ourselves as individuals, as families, as communities, societies, countries, the whole world is reordered by the church, by the descent of the Spirit of God, which gives that order to creation. The first necessary aspect to the church is the people. Second, we'll speak about the place. It's often said the church is the people of God, but it's also the place where God calls His people together. We heard in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles how they were gathered together in one place in the upper room. This was the room that the Lord had selected during His Passion Week. When He knew He was going to leave the disciples, He selected a place for them to gather. A place where He served that mystical supper. That place where He appeared to them through closed doors and showed them that He had risen from the dead. That place where they gathered continuously to strengthen one another and to be with one another. And it was that place, that upper room, where they remained, according to the Lord's command, in the city of Jerusalem, to receive the promise of the Father, the descent of the Holy Spirit. And from that place, they would go out into all of the world, sharing this great gift of newness of life. When we think about Israel, the Holy Land, there's a reason why God chose that place. And it wasn't actually because it was the land flowing of milk and honey. That's what he told the people so they would go there. But it was a place that was strategically chosen by God. Why? Because Israel is at the heart of the three great continents, that known world at the time. It connects Asia, Europe, and Africa. And Jerusalem is at the heart of Israel. And at the heart of Jerusalem, that day was the upper room. And it was from there that the gospel and the good news and the grace of God, forgiveness and salvation, would spread out throughout all the world. That place, that upper room, that church, was the center of the world. And for us, brothers and sisters, this church is the center of our world. This is it, this place. This is why we come here. Last Sunday, we spoke about how we are recommitting ourselves to be in church every single Sunday, not to let anything stop us from coming. Not work, not school, not sports, not activities, not family. Nothing stops us from being here in this one place, gathered together, because this is the center of our world. And finally, the church is not just the people who are gathered together in one place. We have plenty of humanistic organizations and institutions. The third component is the most important component in the church, and that's God Himself. We can't have the church without God. We can't have this world without God. We can't have life without God. We can't have anything without God. Anything that is eternal and true and genuine, it has to be filled with God. His presence. The church is the place where God descends and makes himself known. He descended that day in the form of tongues of fire on the holy disciples. And he formed within them by the power of the Holy Spirit the body of Christ, reconciling them with the Father. This is what the church is about. Participation in divine life. Sharing, once again, in God. Our Creator and our Redeemer. The church is where we experience transcendence. And this is perhaps what makes it so hard to be part of the church, to be the people of God. Because we can't be ordinary anymore. We can't be disunited. We're called to a higher standard in the church. And this is why it's hard to come here sometimes. Because we know we're called to something higher. We're called to stand face to face with God. And that is a fearful thing. And this is why on this day, this renewal of the church, we bend our knees in prayer. We fall down prostrate before God. And everyone should be bending their knees. If you can't do it physically, bend your neck, bend your head. But no one should look up and see God face to face. We're all in need of humility because we're all in need of repentance. And it's precisely that looking down that lifts us up. It's the bending of the knees that allows us to jump up. It's that humility that brings grace because God gives his grace to the humble. Brothers and sisters, on this great day of Pentecost, on this day where we celebrate the historic birth of the church, and participate in the renewal of the church. Let us be reminded that we are the people of God, that we come here to the center of our world, and we participate in the most transcendent life of God Himself. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory. Glory.